Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Go.
Adam.
Go.
Yeah?
Go. Go.
Go, Adam.
Go.
Hello, welcome to The Front Three. My name is Adam Boltwood. Joining me, as always, is the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
Good to have you guys. Saturday, it's question time.
It is indeed. Dave O'Brien also here, as always, to answer the questions.
Big questions this week, massive questions.
A comment of the week this week has to go to Memphis Depay, who apparently completely destroyed Robin Van Persie in Netherlands training. Depay didn't pass to Van Persie, reportedly, who later shouted out, "Do you think you're a big boy?" And Depay replied, "The big boys play for Fenerbahce."
Brilliant.
And that is...
It's shut down. That is brilliant. I mean, apparently Robin Van Persie is a bit of a... Anyway, in Dutch training. So credit to him. It takes balls.
We get into the questions, though, of course. We have to talk about Jose Mourinho. A day after, a big discussion with Rory from the Chelsea fans channel about how, you know, the fans were backing Mourinho. There's no way he was being sacked. He was sacked. And, I mean, it was somewhat surprising, Lawrence. But, I mean, what were your sort of brief thoughts on that?
I don't think it was all that surprising, considering the recent form, considering what Chelsea's aims are.
Considering what he said on Monday night when he completely threw the players under the bus.
He parked it and then he threw them under it, didn't he?
He did, indeed.
And then, I guess, also considering his relationship with the players as well, which seems to have become strained in recent years, recent weeks and months. And just overall how things just didn't align. He got longer than any other manager would in that sort of situation. Yeah. Other people's assessment was, he got beyond when the board discussed it the first time and they have faith in him, probably for good reason because of his history in that. But if you look even deeper into it, I think the fact that people are talking about Jose and this is probably somewhat of a distraction from the wider problems, and we discussed that with Rory on the previous podcast. Go back, because even though it's pre-Jose leaving, a lot of it's still very relevant to the overall structure of the club. And I think what it is it's very distracting from the overall structure of Chelsea and the problems that they've created for themselves, which they've used Jose as somewhat of a sticking plaster for, and that's why people say he's a scapegoat, a fall guy for the people who have really made the issues at the club. And I think it's quite revealing the way that different people are dealing with it.
So. It was interesting to hear Michael Emanalo come out afterwards on the Chelsea TV. He's a sort of technical director of the club, and he sort of mentioned this palpable discord is the terms he used. It does seem that...
At the Christmas party.
Yeah, it wasn't much fun at all. But it does seem that relationship between the players and the manager completely broke down, and that, in the end, is what ended up getting Mourinho the sack. I mean, we did mention it on Wednesday about how it's easier to get rid of one manager than 22 players, Dave.
I'd say so, yeah, but it's one of those things where Mourinho does create this bubble, this aggressive atmosphere that you've got to perform or you're out in a way, and the Chelsea players have finally come against this. The walls have crumbled in a way. It's becoming an environment where they can't flourish. You've got to blame the players in some respects, you've got to blame the manager, but you look at the form of Eden Hazard, he's sort of like a quarter of the player he was last season. Last season he was, absolutely smashing, goal scored as a midfielder, assists as a midfielder, chance created and passes in the final third were absolutely ridiculous numbers. They were like Lionel Messi standard. Mm. So really where I come from here is, how can a player, his performance levels drop that much? Like, he's getting caned by Riyad Mahrez this season in all those stats. And it's just one of those things where you're supposed to be a top, top player. You're supposed to be recognised as one of the top three players in the world. For me, Eden Hazard's, his attitude absolutely stinks. No matter if he wants to move or this or that, it's kind of, I don't, for me, it's not good enough. Yeah, the manager's gone. Yeah, the manager's going to take the criticism. But when the players have absolutely dodged a bullet here, and they're going to be playing for Chelsea, and I imagine this weekend, you know, Chelsea are playing today, I think, and there's going to be a performance there. The likes of Costa, Hazard, and Fabregas are going to perform, and that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be just, it's just going to look awful on them as people.
Interestingly, we did run a little poll on the front three on Twitter, who should be the next Chelsea manager.
We asked you the question this time.
Indeed, at the start of next season, just 9% voting for Pep Guardiola. Bearing in mind the question is who should be the Chelsea manager, 13% voting for Carlo Ancelotti, 29% voting for Diego Simeone, and 49% voting for captain, leader, legend, manager John Terry. So
little,
yeah,
soon.
I'm a little bit
soon.
Yeah, maybe a little bit soon for old JT.
Should be Gary Neville. We didn't even include the current interim manager Gus Hiddink, who.
You know, looks like he's coming in, yes.
I mean, 6 years on, a lot's happened in that time for Gus.
Interesting choice.
You know, what he did last time was steady the ship somewhat. And you'd hope that he could do the same at Chelsea now for the fans more than anyone. I've lost all interest in hearing what the board at the club had to say or the owner or any of those sort of things, because I think it's all, you know, fairly distracting. But it's been interesting to see how different sets of fans. I was around a Chelsea fan when it was announced, and they were just in shock. And that's a bit of a weird thing to watch, because, you know, I think ultimately what you realise is a lot of people put a lot of emotional investment into their club. And, you know, these are business decisions being made in some respects. And the problem is it's become this horrible cocktail of money, managers and sort of discontented players. And there's a lot of different people pulling in different directions, and you realise how unifying a good manager is in that sort of a situation.
Let's move on to the talk of the £500 million teams that could win the Champions League. We were posed the question, we put together our team, which had its flaws, and we suggested that maybe that you, the listeners, come up with a better team. I think they've resoundingly succeeded. Some really great entries, so thank you very much for sending in those teams.
Never have we had so many good tweets, you know,
some good really impressive suggestions. I mean, most people sort of going for the tried and true players, but some few interesting suggestions. Philip Eklund chucked in a good team. He had Hector Bellerin at right back, but he managed to crowbar in Lewandowski, Royce, Suarez. He's got Xabi Alonso in there as well, which also gets bonus points,
good
of course. I love Liverpool FC on Twitter. He's gone for a front three.
My second account.
Yeah, he's gone for a second. He's gone for a front three of Sanchez, Suarez, and Willian. Got Alonso in there as well. Again, it's not bad. He's got Philip Lahm at right back as well. I like that.
Philip Rahman.
Osbert Moore also sent in. He is assuming £200 million each for Messi and Ronaldo, so he's got them in. And then the rest of the team is just the Leicester City squad. So, I mean, that's one
like
way
that
to go.
Fair to him, what he also did was he wrote a full article about it.
Well, that's actually... he's done a different team for the article. So, therefore, a good team, potentially the best team, would you say, Dave?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely up there. It's got a very solid defence. Juan Fran at right-back, Godin and Hummel, centre-back, Alaba at left-back, Buffon in goal. Midfield three of Rakitic, Busquets and Vidal. That's got so much work in it. Then a front three of absolute genuine quality, Gareth Bale, Thomas Muller and Lewandowski. That'd have so much flexibility, so much different styles that they could play. They could go out there and they could just smash you up, or they could play some nice possession-based football. So for me, that is the team that wins. And the article as well, incredible stuff.
I think honourable mentions to Joshy B, James Halloran and Stephen Bevan. Hello, Stephen.
I also
think that team has got
to win. Their notes, and also some people wrote it in their notes and submitted it because they didn't have FIFA. And then Nick Sweets actually wrote it down. And he even put the price for Pep Guardiola, which was apparently 20 million.
That's bonus points.
What I also loved about this was people's valuation of players and how they thought we grossly overvalued so many players. Because once we were given 500 million, we just blew it. And then also.
On bloody Emre Can.
Mate, Emre Can was the cheapest player in the team, I think, apart from Andres Iniesta. What I like was some people's suggestions. So, I like the use of Sanchez. No one's said Ozil, which is interesting.
He
seems to be having somewhat of a...
I did see one at Ozil. Charles Antunades got Ozil in his midfield, along with Busquets and Vidal. which is one hell of a midfield.
Imagine that. The thing is, probably with this whole Chelsea thing this week, what we're realising is how many good players are actually made by having a good manager and someone who brings them together. You know, it almost goes without saying, but I think, you know, when you look at the difference in one season at approach, the manager of this team is probably the most critical.
I'm happy for Osbert Moore to win, Dave. I think he did put together the best team. The question is, I did sort of vaguely promise some sort of prize. What is that prize going to be? I didn't really think about that.
Why don't we put a poll on Twitter? With four options.
Yeah.
And the whole can vote for what Osbert wins.
I like it a lot. I'm going to put forward a box of Ferrero Rocher because that's a decent Christmas present.
That's
and I think you guys can put forward what you want. You have a little think about it, lads, and we'll put that on Twitter. Osbert.
How much is a box of Ferrero Rocher, though, Adam? Like, that's quite a lot of money.
I mean, you know, I spare no expense, mate. I spare no expense for listeners of this podcast. Or at least enough expense to afford a box of Ferrero Rocher.
Let us know. You should tweet us. Let us know who you support, and then maybe that can influence the prize.
Yes, you might get a Liverpool sticker with your Ferrero Rocher. moving on to the questions.
There were a lot of good. To be fair, there were a lot of good questions this week, and a lot of good teams. The timeline was packed with good questions and teams. So
absolutely,
some intelligent people listen to this podcast, and I really like the people who were replying and talking tactics on Twitter. Mm. Well done.
I love them. We got a very intelligent question for the first the first one as well. Yeah, Josh Barton says, "Why does Lawrence always go for long sleeve football shirts?" He says, "Big question, Lawrence."
Big question. I love the look of them. I think you can wear them more casually. I like rolling my sleeves up. Ronaldo often goes for a long sleeve shirt. The only problem is I do like wearing undershirts, but at the same time, certain brands, and please Adidas, release long sleeve versions of everything because not every brand does a long sleeve of everything. And I like long sleeve everything. So.
Next question, Matt W said, "Have people forgotten how good Di Maria is? 9 assists and 4 goals in Ligue 1.
Okay. Well, only Mesut Özil has registered more assists in Europe's top 5 league, so I think we have and we haven't. I think he's just coming back into form at the start of the season. He was very poor. I saw, I can't remember who he was against earlier on in the season. He was absolutely awful, didn't create a chance, didn't get a shot on goal. You know, not good stats for a player of Di Maria's quality, but he got a hat-trick of assists versus Lyon. So, yeah, he's coming back. He's sort of had a very bad spell at Manchester United for obvious reasons in the break-in, lack of confidence from LVG, but I do like to see Di Maria playing good football. He's a fantastic talent. It's just a shame how he left Manchester United. But fair play to PSG and Laurent Blanc are getting the best out of him again.
I like this from Guru Preet Kaushik. He says, "Can each of you put together a sentence with just footballers' names?"
No.
Is there a player called the? You know what? That's probably a week long. Should we bring that up next week on the podcast?
Yes.
Maybe people can put forward Twitter suggestions, and maybe he can put forward one so we know what kind of vein he's going for. I think I can do it.
I don't think I haven't got the skills, lads.
I can start with Emery Chan, right? You just say "can" and then you're off.
So there you go.
You can have that for free, lads. Next question. Dennis said, "Starting midfield free for Spain in the Euros. Busquets starts because, well, it's Busquets, but who else? Koke, Thiago, Herrera, Suso?"
Has Iniesta retired from international football?
Not as far as I know.
Surely he would be in there, but maybe he has. I don't think he has. I think he should be there, right?
Yeah, I think he's still there.
Yeah, I think he's still there, right. So I think Iniesta's guaranteed.
With his new hair.
Oh, he looks sick, doesn't he?
I think he looks amazing. I can't believe people
it looks cool.
Now, what do you mean he's got a new haircut? I have not seen this.
Have you not seen this?
He's like shaved it off and he's got a mohawk, but his hair goes a bit blonde at the back. So it looks like it's got a mohawk and then there's a gap and then there's a mohawk. So it looks interesting to say the least.
It's very generous of Dave to say it goes blonde at the back. It's very sweet.
Or is it just no hair there?
It's just no hair there.
There's just no hair.
Your hair seems to be going a bit blonde around the front there, where it seems to also be receding. All right, okay. The midfield should be, what, Busquets? Surely Thiago's got to be in there, even though he spent so much time injured since he left Barcelona. I think Busquets, Thiago, And then who do you put ahead of that?
Iniesta.
Oh, it's Busquets, Thiago, Iniesta, right? If it's
those I don't know. I think Spain will go for like a midfield four or five. So their shape will change a little bit and they'll go...
Well, I think you'd have David Silva in there because he's whenever I've seen Spain qualifying, you know, against Slovenia, he was really, really good against Slovenia. So I'd have him in there. You know, I'd like what Navas does. He does stretch the play. He may not be as, you know, as talented as all the rest of the players, but he just offers something a little different, similar to what Pedro does.
Okay.
We've got a really highbrow question next from Anna Thomas.
Thanks, Anna.
Thanks, Anna. Thank you, Anna. Would you rather shit yourself on the pitch or run off to the toilet and concede a goal?
Shit myself on the pitch. Go down with the shit.
Regular Gary Lineker you are.
Sorry, Adam, what would you do?
Oh, I mean, it's a catch-22 in many ways. I guess that's why she's asked the question. I'm not a big fan of shitting myself, to be honest.
No, although you have done it.
Sorry, Dad. My dad's going to be listening to this and he's going to be absolutely appalled at the language. So for that reason, I'm going to run...
Would you rather have a little poop on the pitch?
I think I'm going to...
Or would you rather poop and can score a goal?
I think, you know, I'm going to run off to the toilet and concede a goal because otherwise I'll be Gary Lineker for the rest of my life. When I'm on Twitter, everyone's just going to reply... Shut yourself. Shut on the pitch.
What about you, mate?
Can I add, what if you pooped yourself but you got to score a goal? Or you
no,
went
because
to
all
toilet,
I'd be remembered for would be shitting myself. And if I can not shit myself and concede a goal, I can bring back my reputation. Otherwise, that's all I got down for. Sorry, language.
Adam.
Anyway.
This is awakening to you, Adam.
It has indeed. Did you give your...
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
You would do it.
Maybe,
you'd just do it.
Maybe we should also run a poll on that. Would you rather have
yes,
a poo
that's
on
fantastic.
Or would you rather run to the toilet and see
that's brilliant. I think people are going to be with me, to be honest, because, you know, doing that to yourself is not great.
You won't, yeah, the thing is...
It doesn't matter. You've got to win the game, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, if you're a
I'm
good...
tweet it right now and we'll get the results at the end of the podcast.
If you're a good enough player... No, we won't because it's got to be a 24-hour poll. But if you...
We'll get the, you know...
If you're good enough... Then you would basically no one would remember that. So if Messi pooed himself on the pitch,
mate.
Everyone would go, "Oh, Dave, but he won three Ballon, he won four Ballon d'Ors."
Yeah, Gary Lineker, one of the greatest English strikers of all time, is relentlessly hounded for shitting on the pitch every single day of his life.
By who? Arsenal fans.
By you know
everyone. Ever.
Everyone. Yes. Right. Next question. Why I put out this poll?
I'd like
I'm going
to
get
know,
to the
Anna
bottom of this.
That's a good question. Yeah,
Anna. Yeah, Anna. Let's know. We've got a question here from Harry. He says, who takes the title of Mr. Versatile, David Alaba or Barcelona's Sergi Roberto?
Ooh, why? I mean, really? I go Alaba.
Yeah, 100% Alaba. Sergi Roberto's getting a good name for himself this season, being that type of guy that can play any position. But, you know, Alaba's been doing it for years, hasn't he? Fifth time he's won the Austrian Player of the Year in a row. He won that this week. So well done to Alaba. But centre-half, left-back... Midfield for Austria, he runs the show. He's so versatile. You know, the goal he scored against Arsenal in the Champions League, he picked the ball up in the 10 slot. He could just do anything, right?
Yeah, although, can we also say that one of the answers there could be Alonso?
Nah, Xabi's very much a holder these days, Lawrence, mate.
Yeah, but early on in his career, mate, at Alaba's age, he could do a bit of centre-back. Yeah, he got forward quite well.
Didn't play full-back, though, did he? You know, he's not got the width.
Not that he couldn't have. What about Mascherano?
Again, I think a little bit too central, but no, very good player. You know, his defensive midfield. Central.
I'm only putting forward suggestions. Good point, Dave.
Sorry.
Oh,
mate,
what about Neuer? Surely Neuer needs to go in there.
Soliman, Herr Soliman, thank you for your question. He said, Hertha Berlin are flying right now, being third in the league. Can they keep it up, Dave?
Well, they could do, but they might not. You know, the teams that they are ahead of right now probably will hit a little bit of formula.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Looking at the likes of Wolfsburg, Schalke. But they've started very well to keep the ball well. They're not conceding many shots. They've got two lads that are in banging form at the moment. Salomon Kalou, ex-Chelsea, everyone knows that. Finally settled in Berlin. He's their top scorer with 9 goals. And then they've got Ibe Savic. I think I've not killed his name too much. He's a bit of a journeyman. Started his career in Switzerland, then moved over to America. And then he's been in Germany for a number of years at Hoffenheim at Stuttgart. And this season he scored 6 goals in 9 games. Target man of the team. So they could do, but I just don't think they're as good as the likes of Wolfsburg and Gladbach and Schalke, to be honest.
Big gulf between them, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a big golf, yeah.
JJ King on Twitter says, do Leicester need to get Valdez, Adebayor, and maybe one extra midfielder to keep the hunger for the rest of the season? ... Title?
I don't think so. I think they probably will try and make some signings, but at the same time, you don't want to disrupt what you already have. I think they do have a little bit more depth than people are giving them credit for. Ranieri has made some good substitutions in games of late. And I'd also say there's certain players in there that he's named that just maybe a bit surplus requirements. So, yeah, I'd say it's better to keep it solid than take the risk. And at the same time, I think they're aiming for 40 points. The likelihood is by January, they could be very, very close to that total.
Next question here. A lot from Guru Prep Kovacic this week. A lot of questions from him. I'll ask one more in the interest of fairness. Don't want to ask all of them. Can Jamie Vardy be the man to drag England at the Euro 2016? I think he's sort of saying, can he be the main man for England up front?
No, I don't think he should be. I don't think he should be the main man for England. Although what he would say is he may suit the way that Hodgson plays, because Hodgson does play into that underdog a little bit, doesn't he? And Jamie Vardy is very much that underdog narrative.
He'd be a very good part, I think. He wouldn't be the star, but he'd be a good part of the squad, maybe, the starting 11 if he continues his form. But again, like Lauren said, he can't really be the main man. You've got to see like Ross Barkley or Harry Kane or maybe even Daniel Sturridge step up to that mark, or even Raheem Sterling if he continues his decent form at number 10.
Dre Beats have been using Jamie Vardy as an ambassador.
Starting from the bottom now, we hear.
That is stunning. Ballsy.
That is very ballsy. I don't know. Yeah, Adam got the right line there. But
Jameer Price said, with all three of your clubs in the Europa League, how far do you think your clubs will go? I think we did mention it on Wednesday. We were sort of saying I think I plumb for Tottenham out of loyalty rather than logic. But I can't see us winning.
All three teams can make it to the final.
Yeah, it'll be great. Triple threat match, with 3 goals.
I love it. Interesting. Here's a question from Quabity.
Don't just make up names, Adam.
Yeah. This guy definitely asked the question. Yeah, Quabity Ashuitz said, did Gary Neville make a mistake joining Valencia?
No, he needed to cut his throat in management, right? I think Valencia is quite a good environment for him. He's got the backing of the owner. He's going to be able to put his own style of play across. He's going to be able to make signings. It's a good move for him.
I think the phrase is cut your teeth, but I mean, cut your throat. is a more extreme version
of
that. Maybe
got your teeth, but if you want it, if Gary did want to cut his throat, that'd probably be the wrong thing.
Yeah, don't do that, Gary.
I've started my management journey this week. Ooh. Football Manager. I finally got around to it.
Oh, go
it
on,
takes
Lawrence.
Bloody hours to set up, and I got in at the club, and I happened to be in bed with my best friend, and we were both playing Football Manager like you do, sitting next to each other in bed.
Yeah.
And he just got bored and I got bored because we were meeting after meeting, letter after letter, email. Do you want to meet the board? Yeah, if I must. But to be honest, I want to play a game. But he made the great point. It's all the bits that they cut out of FIFA because it's boring.
I mean,
Lawrence, you need to be part of it. You need to immerse yourself.
You need to immerse yourself, yeah.
Come on, mate. I thought it'd be better than that.
It was 2 a.m. in the morning, Dave. We were both very impatient. To be fair, we managed Manchester United. We played the under 21s, and we won 3-1. So pretty good, guys. And Ryan Giggs was a great assistant.
Question here from Benjamin P.
said, do you think this season's title race will be decided on Monday, Arsenal v City? No.
That's certainly a big indicator, isn't it? As to, but it's more about the points, but it, I don't think it's a decider. It's too early.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Ages left, mate. Ages left. Nico said, are people underestimating Spain going into Euro 2016?
Possibly so. I think most people also underestimated them at 2012. And possibly underestimating them because they changed their style up so much. Del Bosque seems very confident that they can win again at this tournament. And I'd imagine that what will benefit him is that he's already proven at one Euros that they can really shut other teams down and essentially use a very possession-based style of football to just throttle the other side and then also switch it up when they want because they have the talent. So
I worry a little bit.
Why?
Who's going to play up front for them? That's the thing. You've got David Costa, who's bang out of form. You know, Negredo's bang out of form. This is the thing. They'd have to go back to that. But then when they always played the false nine well, they always still had someone like David Villa or Torres that either started or they could bring on as an impact. I think there's a bit of a question there. If Costa does start banging goals in again, yeah, definitely. But I just worry that it might be a bit stale this time, this Spain team. So they might just have too much of the ball. And they might not be taking, you know, getting into the final third, having shots on goal. I just worry a bit for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do still have a lot of options there, though, don't they?
I think it'll be the tournament of the transitional team, I think, the team that hits people on the break.
What about Nolito, Dave?
Yeah, Nolito could be good, but again, he's picked up an injury, I think, recently. I think he's out for 2 months or something, but he's a top, top player. But then again, he plays from a wide position. I really do think they kind of, you know, they are transitioning. I think they do need a focal point up front, and it's just one of these guys has to sort of step up.
Could they try
Munir
there?
Munir, what about Morata? Could be a good option if he continue, you know, if he stays fit, keeps scoring goals.
If Pedro wasn't at Chelsea, you almost feel like it would have been a good time to see what Pedro could do.
Yeah, really worked out for him.
Obviously, there's Isco as well, and obviously Santi Cazorla.
Two good questions here from AKA Juice26 on Twitter. First off, Atletico Madrid, do they have a chance of winning La Liga? They've got the best defence in Europe, apparently.
I don't think so. I think the Barca are that sort of step ahead of any team in the world right now again, but they're starting to kick on. I think there might be more of a cup season for them in a way where they'll come third in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have a decent run in the Champions League or maybe Copa del Rey. I just can't really see them. Barcelona are just something else, right? You know, you watch the game against the in the Club World Championships, they were just unbelievable. They were so, so good. Obviously, the opposition were a lot weaker, but you just see, you know, Suarez, actually, the second goal was absolutely phenomenal. The ball from Iniesta was just a joke. Just, yeah, they're too good.
For a team that's supposed to be poor defensively, you know, Real Madrid have got a goal difference of plus 19, which is, you know, almost as good as Barcelona, and they're only 5 points off them. So there's a lot. There is a lot
still
there.
There's definitely still a lot in there, right?
Speaking of Barcelona, AKA also wants to know, should they buy Laporte or Stones? Emerick Laporte or John Stones? Who should they buy? Well, it doesn't actually say who, but it just said should they buy. I mean, big difference. I think it should probably be, I'd like to see John Stones stay in the old Prem. Laporte is supposed to be, he's supposed to be the best young defender in the world, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got probably one of the best left-footed centre-halves in the world right now in terms of his age. He reads the game very well, interceptions, picks up a load of those again, ball player, Bilbao. And I just think it might be a little bit too early again for him to move. He's playing good football at Bilbao. They're doing well in La Liga. Well, they did last season and they've started all right this year. They're in the Europa League still, right? So I think that he should stick around there for a bit. Similar to John Stones, I don't think it's time for him to move yet. He looks so, so good with the ball at his feet, but then there's still a bit of defensive work that he needs to work on. So I'd like them to sign neither of them.
Hick at DesmondMiles77 on Twitter said, can you tell me why Aston Villa is still considered one of the biggest teams in England?
I guess history, position, the fact that relatively to everyone else geographically around them, they're probably still the biggest big institution. They still have an owner with a lot of money that he just hasn't really invested, and it's because of the institution I think they are in the area and how important they were in the history of England, and also their supporter base is actually quite large in England because in the Midlands it's weirdly distributed. Naturally, there are big supporter bases for a lot of clubs.
Mark Anthony Bustos, always liking the tweets, always retweeting on Twitter. Thank you very much. He said, can Pep Guardiola win the EPL title in his first season at one of the Manchester clubs? Massively hypothetical.
I love the assumption, but yes, he can.
Yes, he can. Why not, eh?
Definitely.
Why the bloody hell not?
Any club that got Pep in the Premier League is instantly just invigorated with this kind of, we've got Pep Guardiola.
And it's
like a stamp of endorsement of basically, you know, all you guys have wanted to play the Barcelona way for years. Watch this, you know.
I invented it, bitches.
Well, in a way, yeah. But that's the interesting side is, you know, if Pep was to come to the league, there would be so many interesting management battles. I mean, think of Pep versus Klopp.
Exactly. It's already happened, hasn't it? And it will happen again. Yeah. They're always very brilliant games, those ones. Although, Klopp, you know, did take a bit of a beating from Guardiola when they were in Germany together.
He did. That's what worries me.
Ryan Hennessy on Twitter's asking, mainly for Adam, mainly for me, who would be the better Spurs signing in January? Ighalo, Berahino, or Perez? I assume he's referring to Iosi Perez, who we've been linked with.
You would not get Perez right now, I don't think.
Who would be the better signing, though? I'm not sold on Berahino, to be honest. I'm not massively convinced.
Interestingly, so Darren Fletcher did something for West Brom this week on Twitter, like a Twitter video about, like, you know, like soccer AM, best teammates and so forth. And he said the best trainer was Berahino. And Berahino stayed. He's saying how he stays back after training, works really hard on his game. And that, Darren Fletcher was saying that Darren Fletcher's seen Ronaldo emerge. He's seen all these wonderful players come through. And he was saying Berahino is going to go to the top. And for someone of Darren Fletcher's sort of calibre to say that, that's quite impressive for me.
It's interesting that
he was doing it for mega banter, Dave. And he went back to the dressing room and he was like, you will never guess what I just said in the video.
Apparently he has split with AD Ward, though. And his new management team are the same as Gareth Bale. And the talk is that, you know, they're going to push for him to join Spurs in January. I'm still not massively convinced.
Real Madrid in
18 years. At the moment, you'd probably say Ighalo, to be honest, because what has he scored, 10 goals this season already?
Yeah, but would the system suit? Like, why would you go for...
I mean, we need a striker.
Go for the long term. Go for Berahino.
Yeah, I'm just not sold.
You've got Son, mate. What's your problem?
He's not an out-and-out striker.
There's already some banter flying around. Lawrence, as you have said, keep it clean on the Twitter poll. Adam at Radio Manda has just asked, have just put, quoted the tweet and asked.
Oh, Gary Lineker. What did I say? That very much proves
the
point.
No way.
Let me just update you on the results of the poll so far, Lawrence. 86 votes. 22% of people would rather do that to themselves. 78% are quite happy to concede a goal. And
really?
Yeah.
Soft.
So I think I feel like I've been vindicated in many ways.
No. I'm soft. We need to turn them into winners.
I haven't got the right mentality.
Exactly.
Bunch of bloody Spurs players.
There's a lot of Spurs fans voting.
Yeah. Spurs team in the making.
Poor Javi Alonso's going to be really unhappy. He'd stay on the pitch, wouldn't he?
The only thing that would make me happy is if we could read the list of people who voted and Javi Alonso would be in that list and he voted for shit yourself.
Yeah.
That would be all. That's I'd expect nothing less from Javi Alonso.
It's a given, he's thinking.
It's a given. You think, I don't even need to vote. It's implied.
What sort of question is this? Final question. I like this question from Piotr Gala. He says, who should Leicester City sign in winter to solidify their title challenge? So if Leicester could sign one player realistically who maybe could help them maintain that challenge, because we've said they're going to fall off the pace, who could that man be? Dave, let's come to you first and put you on the spot.
You see, I think their recruitment's been quite interesting. They've had a lot of players that have come from the Bundesliga recently, right? Ogasaki and some other players among there. So maybe they might pull someone else out there. I'd like to see maybe another physical sort of centre half, maybe with a little bit more pace. So maybe Stefan Bell from I've just forgotten the name. Mainz. There you go. Stefan Bell from Mainz, centre back, but obviously Liverpool have been looking at him. He could be going over there, I don't know. Or maybe Sane plays for Hanover, very physical central midfielder. I just feel that they like the Bundesliga at the moment.
Wow.
It's sort of hard to say, isn't it? Because actually the thing with Leicester is there were a lot of players there that people were sort of saying, you know, are they going to fit, et cetera, et cetera. And Ranieri's fitted them quite well together. So you almost feel whatever you suggest, you're going to have to look at the way that Ranieri plays. and you wonder, well, you don't want to break up what Mahrez and Vardy have got. You want something that's going to complement those guys. So, and Drinkwater and Kante in the midfield. I mean, I would say maybe another central midfielder, another central defender is going to help them to the end of the season. We're going to see, we'll see a lot this weekend when we see Huth out and whether the structure of the side, the integrity remains the same.
Yeah, a lot depends on injuries as well. Charlie Austin, maybe that'd be an interesting signing.
I think Austin's waiting for something bigger, though. I think he's waiting for something big. Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, Chelsea fans the other day were talking about whether Austin would sign. So,
ooh, interesting.
Yeah, a lot.
Well, that does actually bring the end to this weekend's questions podcast. I like this. There was a suggestion on Twitter that we call this the front three extra time. I quite like that.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you think every podcast though does an extra time
Q&A? Like, you know, does what it says on the tin, so we could just keep calling it Q&A.
Lawrence, as creator of the Hole, maybe you should name it, because that was a pretty decent name for the fans. Hole. I am the Hole.
Dave, I'm in the van. Maybe we again put it. Maybe we come
so
up
many
with.
Votes,
I'm
man.
Loving
so
Twitter
many
polls,
votes.
Guys.
Maybe let's do another one.
The only reason I love it is because so many people voted in it. So I think we should just use it more and more. I just think, do we put out four options for what we call the podcast?
Yes, I love it. We've already got
180.
We've always got 100. Already got 118 votes on the most important poll that we'll ever put out. So,
but Adam, it's actually a live vote right now, Adam. If you
I know, but
live vote,
it's pretty convincing.
But my people are pulling it back.
They're not pulling that back.
Mate. Adam,
they're
though,
not
they'll,
pulling
they'll pull it
that back.
Many people would rather shit themselves than concede a goal.
We'll have to find out the final results next week. But until then, if you want to follow Lawrence on Twitter, go at LozCast on Twitter.
LozCast.
If you want to follow Dave, it's at Squawker Dave.
Yeah, that's about it, mate, isn't it? And Adam, how about you? How do we find you?
At Adam Boltwood on Twitter. Go and check me out. I don't have great polls like we do on the front three, but if you do want amazing polls and get involved in these, the sort of the questions we're going to be asking this week, go and give us a follow. It has to be done. I look forward to seeing you all on Wednesday.
Do you remember that Chelsea fan? Do you remember that guy who was like, he was Chelsea, yeah? And we're like, we've got all the trophies, yeah? And then Sky Sports were just really taking the piss, ripping the shit out of him.
No idea who you're talking about. But
do you not remember this?
Gonna go and look it up now.
Yeah? Like, we're gonna put it in there. Put it in there. Yeah? It was just, he just kept saying, yeah? Every 2 seconds.
And we've spoken to a few passionate Chelsea fans today, and they're sure that John Terry will bounce back.
He's a world-class footballer. World-class, yeah? Like everyone else in the world class, yeah? He's always on the England team, yeah? He's always, yeah? He will recover from it, yeah? This is nothing, yeah? This is just another trophy, yeah? That could have been put on our, like, silver cabinet, yeah? We didn't get it. So what? He will come back from it, yeah? And we will, like, we will deal with the Premiership, next Premiership. We will keep doing what we're doing it. Chelsea, yeah?
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 Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.